You're listening to Super Yacht Radio.
Sound the broken gun, let it run, let it run. Before your eyes they blame contention, feel the dream where I'm from. 'Cause it's a long and dusty road, shine down girl, let us know. Before your head becomes a light, you make us feel alive.
Welcome to Super Yacht Radio. I am delighted to welcome our next guest, not only because it was a lovely introduction to us from a crew member who knows him well, but also it is a great introduction to finding out more about two of our favorite things, music and an international stage, as our next guest is from South Africa.
I've got two other favorite things, but we'll talk about that later.
Tanner Wareham, nice to have you here.
Hey, awesome. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Pleasure. Welcome to the station. And thank you for allowing us play a couple of your tracks.
Well, and fun for us, because we get to talk to people, you know, all around the world of different professions. But even though one of the things we play the most is music, we actually don't get to talk to that many musicians.
No. So, oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
I think the worst interview we had was with a mime artist.
So, Tanner, you know, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, where you're at right now for those of you, those of our listeners that, you know, haven't yet heard your music? And yeah, well, then we where, might backtrack where a little bit to where it all came
from. South Africa are you? It's a big place.
Yeah, so do you guys know Durban?
Well, whereabouts in South Africa? No.
So, okay, so there's kind of like three major cities. There's one in the center, that's where Joburg is. Most people probably know Cape Town, which is on the west coast.
Yeah.
And then I'm in a big city called Durban on the east coast of South Africa.
Yes, I do know it. I do know it.
Yeah.
I know.
So we like the most sort of moderate, the sort of kind of the best weather in the country. It's always warm, even in winter. It just gets super humid. But yeah, so I'm basically about 20 minutes inland from the CBD and the beach, in a little town called Hillcrest. So it's kind of like a rainforest around me. But yeah, very nice. Weather's always good. And close enough to the beach and the big city. So
wow.
I gotta be honest. Yeah. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry I asked the question now.
Well, we are by the beach, but you know, here in Dublin, we cannot claim to have the warm, lovely temperature all year round. But we rejoice in sunshine, and we've had a good week or two of it. So all different levels.
Lots of seagulls. Lots
of seagulls. So, but you know, Tanner, you are a very much a solo musician who has a very kind of unique way of bringing your music all together yourself. So can you explain kind of your process of music?
For sure. So kind of all started, what I do is called looping. And the most famous loop artist most people know is Ed Sheeran. Mm-hmm. So, and I use a similar foot pedal that he uses. It's called a loop station. So basically I record each instrument as I go and I layer it. So I'll start a song off usually with an acoustic guitar, play a few chords, hit the pedal, and then it records what I played. And then I have a keyboard that basically does everything else. It's amazing nowadays. So like it has drum kits, it has bass, brass bands, you name it. So then I play in the drums, I add the bass. So I play it all live, layer it, and then I basically sing over it and fiddle around during the song. And that's kind of like most of my songs actually build, they originate from my live sets, because I'll just come up with a basic loop and then I'll improvise over it and I'll see what works, what doesn't. And it's great because I get immediate sort of feedback from how the crowd is enjoying it. So that's so kind of exactly how.
Do you sometimes even do this spontaneously? I mean, I can imagine doing this in a studio, but do you, you know, when you're performing, you do this on stage as well. It's not just, you know, playing something that's already pre-prepared, so to speak.
Yeah. So actually most of my obviously original stuff, I'll actually try to play live. Like, so either I'll know the chords beforehand, but like the one song I think I sent you guys called The Beach, I was doing a sound check and I just happened to play those chords and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I literally just live, I looped it and then I improvised the rest of it. And I'm really good at sort of just singing and coming up with melodies on the spot, especially when it's live, because I feed off that sort of atmosphere. So yeah, probably more than you think, I improvise live as the first step. And it seems to be the time when I'm most inspired. So I get my best ideas. But yeah, like a lot of the time, especially with covers, I'll at least know the chords, the basic melodies, structures and stuff beforehand. And then, but I'll do a lot of like, okay, I'm going to come up with the loop live because it's the best way to see what works. I'll be like, oh, you know what? That drop didn't work. The people didn't really respond. So I'll try something else next time until I'm like, okay, I know how the song should go now.
I get sometimes people get inspiration in the oddest of times and occasions and, you know, on a bus or doing a sound check or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing from you is you'll stand in front of a crowd knowing full well you haven't a clue what you're going to sing, and then you just make it up as you go along.
Basically, yeah. So
how does that work? Because, you know, to be so confident that you will actually have inspiration, I think it's probably a bit like Robin Williams. He's the other artist who used to go on stage and he'd have no set. He would just start talking and he made incredible comedy. And what you can do is onto a stage and just kick into something, not knowing where you're going.
I was actually more thinking like the jazz music. Awesome. The involvement of jazz 50 or 60 years ago, where they would just kind of go, but they would be kind of feeding off each other.
Yeah, that's a jam set. It's different. This is one guy like standing out in front of a crowd and going, here we go. That's an awesome talent.
Thanks. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think like for me, I'm quite different to most like songwriters so I won't like write words out or be like, oh, I've got this story, I've got this feeling, let's go for it, let's play around. Like, it's weird. It's almost just like flows. And I think it was Noel Gallagher who once said, he's like, he felt like there's this constant river, invisible river of music flowing above everyone. And the great moments is when you can like tap into it. And that's kind of how it is. I'll just sort of like play something, whether it's three chords, four chords. And then, so once I've got the chords down, it's simple. Cause then I'm like, hey, well, I know the bass notes and I'll use whatever beat, a reggae beat or a pop beat. And then, yeah, I really find it easy to just sing over it. So like, I don't think I'd be able to do a full set like that, because eventually the idea, especially of the melody, will sort of end up being the same and it's very repetitive. So, cause I actually tried to do that once when I was still like trying to build my set. And it was a very laid back, like restaurant background. I was like, you know what, let me just loop and see what it goes. And then I started realizing it was like those two songs actually sound very similar. So I don't think it would work for me to do a full set, but yeah. I'll play something and then it'll evolve. And then each time I'm like, okay, there we go. This is the verse melody. That section that I played last time I like, I'll keep that in and then I'll build off of that. So
what also fascinates me is layering. I love the idea of kind of you being in charge of layering the music and, you know, as I mentioned to you, a bit like a painter, you know, having full control on the paint and what the end image will be. But marrying that with lyrics, because I almost would have thought lyric writing is almost using a different part of your brain, that it's kind of the poetry or... So being able to marry the two of those.
Or lyrics that make sense.
Oh, yes, possibly.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I'll sing in the shower and it's just gobbledygook. Yeah, it's completely senseless. But yeah, so meaningful lyrics. That's, sorry, I didn't mean.
Yeah, so I kind of do like, it's some, to me, I think like I'll sing and I'm like, yeah, this is complete gibberish, but I almost, I can do it well enough that to someone hearing the song for the first time, they can't really like immediately be like, oh, wait, what did he sing? Because that makes no sense to what he started with.
Yeah, but have you, you've heard Michael Stipe from REM. Have you ever read his lyrics? It's just words. Like,
yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, when he sings them, they make sense. But when you read
exactly,
them,
exactly. Like,
you know, EL.
If I had to write down what I wrote, like, yeah, so actually, most of the time, especially when I do into the studio, I'll have an idea of the lyrics. So I won't actually go in knowing exactly what the lyrics are, but I'll have an idea of what I sang live, and usually like I'll know the chorus or at least like the type of words I want to use. So I'll be like, okay, I know I have to use a word that rhymes with that. So then I'll go in, I record everything. I'm like, okay, I can kind of see there's a story somewhere, but like this makes no sense and it's not connected to that. So then I'll go in and I'll chop and change until it makes sense. But then there's still some times that I'm like, I'm just completely really kind of bullcrapping my way through this, because then some people like, the words are so deep, like it's incredible, like the imagery, and I'm like, it's actually complete nonsense, but I'm glad you think so. So
you know what you gotta do, Dan, is go online and do a search for the lyrics of Ebo a Letter. That's an REM track.
Okay.
And print it off and keep it with you, because this is a letter he actually wrote and sent to somebody as a letter. And it's got such lyrics, for example, I wrapping my hand in plastic to see through it and stuff like that. And when you read it, it is absolutely so does not make sense. No two words seem to go together. But to hear it and to listen to it is one of his best songs.
Yeah.
So if you're ever feeling that these don't make sense, read that and then go, well.
It makes sense to someone.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I think. Like for me, it's also like maybe like a spiritual thing where I'm like, you know what? These words have come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. Sometimes my songs only make more sense to me like after I've written, produced them, played them live. And then I'll go back and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Now I get it. So that's sort of how I think of it as well. So I just kind of, I'll go with it. And
so as Tanner, last year, I presume, you know, South Africa had a lot of restrictions like around the world. And one of the things I read recently was a stand-up comedian. And he said, you know, it's just really hard to know if you're funny when you don't have an audience. That the audience as a stand-up comic is part of the whole performance.
Yeah.
And you are very much someone who, you know, feeds off the live version. How was last year? Did you have the chance to perform live? Was it restricted? Did you have to think of other ways to do it? And was it frustrating as an artist?
And if you were performing live, were people allowed to come in and see you?
No, so probably for a good 2 months, at least 2-3 months, we had nothing. So all I did, the most I could do was sort of live stream. And yeah, it was very tough because it's like, you'll feel great about what you're playing. And then afterwards you're like, oh, there's no clapping or there's no shouting or screaming or atmosphere. And that took quite some getting used to. So I was constantly like, is it sounding okay? Is everyone fine? And then like, you kind of read the comments, but yeah, it was very difficult. That's why I didn't actually...
Screaming?
Some places, yeah.
I get a lot of screaming too, but for the wrong reasons.
Inside your house or live?
Answer carefully.
we'll talk later.
luckily I had my mom would watch, and she's like a huge fan, so she'd watch in the other room and then just like go nuts after every song. So it like gave me a sense of it. Which I was slowly opened up. And luckily for me, a lot of the places I play are restaurants and venues. So you didn't have to have like huge capacity allowed in order to be able to do what I do. And sometimes literally it takes like three people that are excited at one table, and that's enough for me. But it is probably the most difficult, especially now, like as I'm starting to grow and get a bit of a reputation. Like I played, it was our first sort of music festival since before lockdown that happened. And it was still small, like 250 people. But I like played the last set of the festival, and like it was awesome because it was 250 people going wild, like watching you. But then like the next day I'll go play a small pub and there's like John and his dog at the bar. And it's you literally get nothing. But I'm so used to not sort of getting disheartened by that. It's like, you know what? If this one song connects with John.
And that was part of like 2020 was also you publishing music.
Yeah, so it was a huge – the biggest thing I find now is because I'm always playing, I don't find like I have that much time to really dive in for like, say, 4 days in a row and get lost in the production and singing. And also like my voice I always find is quite tired. So that was huge. And it was actually a massive breakthrough because I'd been sort of struggling with these five songs for a good 2 years. I had the basic idea, but like couldn't finish them. Couldn't produce them in a way that really hit. And then I don't know where the song Last Plan just sort of hit me the one day. And I sat down and in 2 days, like the inspiration just flew. And I think it's because I'd had so much time to really have a break from it that I was so excited about it. And then since then, for some reason, like I've just known exactly what I needed to do. So, and that's when I finished the second song. And then now I've finished four more and I'm about to release the first EP. So,
oh, excellent. Yeah. I was wondering how many songs do you have to have in order to release an album? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, six on each side.
That was old day. The days of record being.
Yeah, it's like an old school. Because nowadays an EP is actually more common, which is like 4 to 6 songs.
Mm-hmm.
But then a full album, I think, is anything more. But yeah, I think back in the day, it was like 12 to 16 songs, or some guys went crazy. But it's like just the time and resources and stuff needed nowadays and the volume of artists, like it's almost impossible to do that. And also people just churn through content. So like I guarantee you no one will, unless you're a diehard fan to a band, no one's going to sit and listen to 16 of your songs in a row. But yeah, some guys will tell you that you need to write 3 times the number of songs that are on an album to release it to make sure you got good stuff. But like, I sort of will know immediately. I'm like, oh, I like this song, and I'll play it live. And if it works live, I'll be like, Kiff, this is going to be on, and I'll release it rather than scrap a whole bunch. So I think everyone's sort of different nowadays.
Yeah, I think nowadays it is very different, and also your time to market and all those kind of metrics are very, very different as well. Where when I was a lad, the band would bugger off for however many months to a cottage in Enniskerry, or not Enniskerry, west of Ireland. And they just hunker down and write and write and write and write. And as you say, they maybe come back with 20 or 30 tracks. And then chisel through these to get the 12 they want to put onto an album. And that was vinyl back then, 6 on each side. If there's any less, you felt cheated, I can tell you, Tanner.
No, I'm sure. Like,
wasn't a good
thing. On the other hand, you know, they didn't have the reach like you have now of Spotify and YouTube and all the other mediums and platforms that you have to kind of get your name out there.
Well, what's your experience with social media as a mechanism to get yourself heard? Do you find it's good, and which one do you find most useful?
Yeah, so I think it has its ups and downs because first of all, you're competing with so much. Mm-hmm. So there's like, that's the thing, is any artist can sort of make a sponsored ad and pop up. So, and people are just like, scroll, 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 scroll. So like to get someone to actually focus on it. So I found it's wonderful, obviously, because I mean, I get to be able to like say, hey, I want to send an ad that pops up on some youngster's phone in, say, Dublin, and I can do that. And I think that's amazing. So you have that reach, and it doesn't take years and years and of that you have to go through networks and records and tours to do that. You can become big anywhere in the world overnight. But then it's the opposite thing of like, okay, how? And how do I make myself stand out? So that's the everyday stress is like, because then you get like TikTok now, and there'll be some dude down the road who does some stupid dance and like blows up overnight. And I'm like been slaughtering over like my own songs, and then I'll try and like play it live on TikTok. And then like he'll blow up overnight, but then I'll put something out there and it just goes nowhere. And there's no formula per se. So I think you just got to keep trying. You got to just keep positive, but also be smart. So I'm trying now to look at maybe like looking at marketing agencies and looking what other guys do, because it's huge. When I first started, I was like, you know what, if the music's good, it'll get out there and it'll speak for itself. But
unfortunately,
I mean, you can have a great song. It's not the case. So
it's whether or not, if from the industry's perspective, it's whether or not you're marketable. You may have a great song, but you know, it's judged differently these days. Hard work used to pay off, but now you got to be clever about it, how you get there. You know,
it's not the brand. Yeah.
You can put out a top quality video, and you're competing against a Jack Russell that got its head stuck in a plastic bottle that everybody on TikTok thinks is wonderful. And it's
exactly
reality.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is I think for me, it's like, you just got to find almost your fans and ones that'll stick with you, because a lot of artists nowadays, I can see they're quite like not timeless. So it'll all be about the hype in that moment. And then someone's like, oh, have you heard the new song? And I'm like, you've already stopped listening to his song 2 weeks ago, and you'll probably never listen to it again. Like, that's not what I want. And there's a couple of South African artists that have followed like the route where they just build that super close following, people that'll be dedicated to them, like till the day they die, always buy their album, always listen to their music, go to their shows. And I've started to do that playing live so much. So now it's just kind of trying to make that same impact, but through the phone screen. So
yeah, it's about just trying to figure it out. Movement.
Finding your niche, you know, it's like one of the stories I love of, I think, J.R., what's her name from Harry Potter?
I don't know.
Rowling, J.K. Rowling.
Oh, J.K. Rowling.
You know, was turned down by something like, I don't know, 60 or 70 publishers before somebody took up her first book as a good idea. And I kind of love those stories because, you know, it's kind of a reminder of most people didn't get famous from just the first lucky chance. They, you know, you really got to go through a lot to kind of prove yourself and find the niche that, you know, absolutely tunes in and hears what you're saying, and that your lyrics actually really speak to them.
100%. And I think there's I follow a few pages and they're like these new platforms that are trying to help up-and-coming musicians get their name out there through social media. And they always say, these videos will come up where it says, it'll have an artist like Cheryl Cole, first number one or whatever at age 33, and then Billie Eilish, first number one at 18. And it's, you can't, because there's no set formula, you can't base your like success or how you're doing on a timeline or compare to anyone else. It's just about every day trying to keep the movement going up and being positive about it. Because that's it. Like, it is the most rewarding but also disheartening industry, I think. I mean, well, anything in the entertainment, because like as I said, one day I'll play, 250 people will go nuts. They'll be like, oh, you're going to be the best thing ever. Next day, no one even claps. And then you're like, oh, no, I'm going to throw in my toys and give up. But you can't, because that's exactly, could happen at any time.
And, you know, love what you do, following your passion. I think that's part of it. If you love what you're doing and playing and creating, then even if you're the only one quietly clapping inside, you've spent a good hour or two, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think 90% of people like hate their day job. I've been, especially with my friends, and I'm like, I flipping most of the time, I'm having the best time of my life up there. So going to stick to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So we will be playing some at the end of this chat. We will be playing some of Tanner's music. But Tanner, if people want to find out more, listen more, I know you are on many different platforms. How do they find out more about you and get to tune in?
Yeah, just search my name. So I think my music's on pretty much every platform available, Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, YouTube. So Tanner Wareham, obviously I think it can get the spelling from you guys. But yeah, Facebook,
and you're on
Instagram
and Facebook as well, I presume.
Yeah, everything, even Twitter. I don't even know if Twitter still goes, but I'm on Twitter. Yeah. So right now only shows really in South Africa, but yeah, there's new music coming out in the next few weeks. So just go find Tanner Wareham and yeah, please follow, share. And hopefully I'll be playing somewhere on your doorstep soon.
Well, can I just have this as
on your yacht.
Of 2020 for artists of all types was a really challenging year without live performances. So it is a great time to support the arts and support artists and, you know, go and like and share and subscribe.
Yeah,
and give them a boost.
Otherwise, he won't be playing on your door. He'll be sleeping on your door. But
exactly. No, it's true. Like some guys, so many people gave up during lockdown because for a lot of us, it's the only form of income. And that's the thing is there's nothing protecting you because if someone cancels a gig last minute, that's it. You just don't get the money. So it's trying. But
a lot of theaters have suffered.
Venues
really, really suffered throughout the lockdown. So, you know, there's a big drive for people to get back out there and, you know, support the artists, even buskers or whatever. But
anything, yeah.
Got to keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Part of our cultures throughout the world, you know, music and the arts unite us all.
And especially artists like yourself who bring about really innovative, new, fresh music. And otherwise,
thanks.
We're sitting at home listening to our old LPs and vinyls.
So coming up next, Tanner, is the song you released in, I think, December time, and it was sort of not quite your 2020 anthem, but definitely inspired by the year. Can you tell us a little bit about the song before we go so they know what they're hearing in lockdown?
Yeah, okay, that was Life's Plan. So that was the first release. I released that in August. Yeah, so that was that one I basically sat down and it just sort of flowed for 2 days, and the basic message is it's kind of finding your own flow. So images like first line is crawl out the riverboat and don't sort of follow what society and everyone expects of you. Because everyone's nowadays is like, oh, you got to be successful. You got to be married by this time. You got to have a house. And it just stresses people out. So for me, it was like the song was like actually just enjoy the moment. And everyone's got their own part to play in this world. And it shouldn't be measured by money or relationships or status. Just kind of do what makes you happy. So that's Life's Plan.
Such an old head on young shoulders.
Love it. Wonderful. Well, Tanner, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your music.
Thank you guys.
We are honored to be sharing it out to crew and people around the world.
Maybe come back and talk to us when the new EP comes out.
Anytime, I'm there. Yeah. This is huge. It's really huge for me to have a little bit of international exposure. So thank you guys.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I look forward to having you back, Tanner.
And to be honest, there's a lot of super South African crew around the world as well. So it's nice. It's inspired us to make sure that we are bringing out, you know, some of the unique artists from crew around the world. So
amazing.
Fantastic.
Awesome, guys.
Stay well, stay safe. You have been with us as we're chatting with Tanner Wareham, who is a South African artist. Coming up next.
A looper.
A looper. Now I know what it means. Just fantastic music. And please, when you're on Instagram or Facebook or Spotify, check him out, give him a like, subscribe, and coming up next.
Let your mind be filtered out by the rhythms of the things you don't know. Say what you wanna say. Don't let your mind be filtered out by the other days. Wondering how and when I go down to the house where you would know that I never went free from your life until I say that I am free from the part of me never believes in what I can do is run. I'm a trap fool who loved you the most, and so I go a little faster until your heartbeat is like mine. I am the rhythm of the things you don't know. Till I say I'll run away.
Break, break, break with me, baby. You don't understand. This is a lifespan. Yeah, this is a lifespan. Shake.
Listening to Super Yacht Radio.